morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here with us this morning. So as we get started, Pam is going to come up and talk a little bit about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. During our first opening song this morning, the kids are going to be doing noisy offering. So when we raise a hallelujah, we're going to be standing and singing, raise a hallelujah, and the kids are going to be doing noisy offering. So if you don't mind, let's all stand up and open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can come here and gather together in your name this morning, God, to lift up your holy name, to tell you how much we love you and praise and honor you this morning, God, and honor your holy word, God, as Pastor Larry brings it to us this morning, God. Lord, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship and upon Larry as he brings your word to us this morning, God. Speak powerfully through him. Bring that word from Larry to us, God, and make it that fertile soil that when it gets in our hearts, it changes us into what you want us to change, God. And Lord, I pray for the offering that the kids are going to collect today, this morning, God, and I thank you for everything that you're doing there. And with all that, I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Hey, you need to ask Lord to change that from Larry to Richie.
To Richie?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have known. Richie, you had a suit on today. Yeah. Edit, Richie.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank everyone for all the prayers for me and my family after the passing of my sister and bringing my other sister here to West Virginia. The Lord helped us more than can be expressed. Sadly, my sister Spring has come down with a cold, so she's not here today. Hopefully, she'll be better next Sunday. To Lottie Moon, last week you gave $297.87 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Over $2,500 had been given by last Sunday. Money given during the Christmas Eve service will be counted with today's offering. Today is the last day of the offering, and our goal is $4,000, and I will fill out the giving board by next week. Now we're going to watch a video from Southern Baptist missionaries in Prague, Czech Republic. Thank you. Oh, by the way, before the video, after the video plays, children come up and get the cans to collect the noisy offering. Thank you.
I'm Adam Reinking, and my wife Amy and I are your IMB missionaries here in Prague, Czech Republic. We are church planting on the north side of the city in a neighborhood of about 30,000 people with probably 200 believers. The country as a whole is about 0.5% evangelical, so the churches are small, the ground is hard, lostness is everywhere. We've been serving for 8 years in this neighborhood, and we have a group that is meeting regularly, and we even have worship services, and we're heading towards having local Czech leaders, and we're really excited about that. We just wanted to say thank you for supporting us, thank you for giving so that we can represent Christ and share the gospel.
Thank you, kids. Come on up. Let's get our Lottie Moon cans. And church, stand as we praise this morning and raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
time I hear the last line of that song, death is defeated and the king is alive. I imagine, I go back and I remember the first time the disciples seen Jesus alive. Wow, death is defeated, the king is alive.
Of a Even when my eyes can't in this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. It is.
Bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that it is well. That, Lord, you love us so much that we can gather in freedom, in peace. We can love, laugh. That, Lord, we can bring you glory with everything we say and everything we do. Lord, as we come before your throne today, as we get before your word, I pray, Lord, that you rain your spirit down on us. Lord, that we understand your word better, that we we study and try to draw closer to you. That, Lord, as we take up these tithes and offerings, that, Lord, we do this not because we have to, but, Lord, because we want to. Lord, that we give joyfully to further your kingdom. Lord, that as we study and we tithe and as we worship today, that, Lord, everything we do this morning is just the start for the rest of our week. That, Lord, our lives, that we set it all aside for just a few minutes to start our week the way you intend, focused on you. Lord, as we do this and as we study your word, I pray, Lord, that you, God, I just ask that you forgive me of my sins, of my iniquities and my failures. Lord, that you forgive me so that I can come before you as a clean slate. But Lord, that I'm not speaking my words, but rather your words that you speak through me, God. And if I'm not the man to stand here before you, Lord, that I pray you rise up the man who should, and you silence my lips. As we come before your word, as we come before your throne, I pray that your spirit reign through all of us today. And it is in your great name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Open Door. How's everybody doing today? Good. So it's the last Sunday of the year. And for those of you who pay attention, it is also the same Sunday I preach pretty much every year for so far back that I've actually lost count at this point. And as always, it is a privilege, a blessing, and an opportunity to get to stand before you all today. So, of course, I have to thank you, Pastor Larry, for letting me do this, and thank you, church, for allowing me to do this, because it is a great joy and a great privilege to be able to stand before you. As I started preparing for this, and I started going through several of my last year's worth of sermons and seeing kind of what I had preached on before, I thought, well, yeah, what the heck, let's do something different. So, with that said, I thought we'd talk about the year 2024. It's been a crazy year, and it's been crazy for many of you, and what I've found is, in looking at all of the other sermons that I wrote, it seems like every year gets crazier the older I get. So I don't know what is in store for me in 2025, or quite frankly, in any of the coming years, but I know that it has been a crazy year for many. But I also know that in this year, I've learned a lot. I've come across a lot of different circumstances. I've learned a lot. God has shown me a lot. And I thought doing something a little different, we'd take an opportunity to get to share what's something that you all have learned this year. What's something that God has taught you this year, or something in general that you've learned. So I've asked Nick to grab a mic, and he is not going to speak, so don't ask him to. Thank you. All right. But I'd like to, anybody who's learned something this year or something God has shown you this year, what's something you've learned? Any volunteers to start us off? Back in the back.
If someone doesn't like you, always treat them with kindness.
Amen. Some good wisdom there. Somebody else, what have you learned this year? What's something God had to show you this year? All right, Blake up here has got something to say. No surprise that my son has something to say. What do you got, Blake? What did you learn, buddy?
I forgot.
Okay, you forgot. Well, the benefit of being young is I'm sure you'll learn it again.
I've learned that things don't always go to my plans, but God's plans.
Amen.
Sometimes that's hard.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead. We got Larry, Mike.
Learned not to say I've seen it all.
Amen.
As a song sang through it all, God is always faithful.
Amen.
And even when my eyes don't see, God's always faithful.
Amen.
The refiner's fire is the hardest place to be, but it is the greatest place to be. To be purified from the holy God that doesn't fade, he's not a trend, he's a forever, and to have his hand upon you is the best thing that could ever happen to you. It is incredible to see the people in this room when you go out into the shopping malls and there's five times more and they're screwing their lives up and they don't have time for God. But when you come here and see the people here, and you know that some of these people have been the same track that you have, I've been church hurt, and there's people that are church hurt. Being in God's hands is the greatest place to be, even when it is hurting so bad. And to be alone, you're not. You can't be, not when you're with God. So it's been a hard lesson and a hard year. But I would not change a single pain or a single moment because God is a victor and he's triumphed.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
One thing that I learned throughout this year was that a big part of your testimony, you don't even have to say a word for.
Amen.
I've learned that God's timing is the perfect timing. And
Amen.
Megan learned that the best man do exist sometimes.
Anybody else?
I'm very thankful for this church. I've seen what death looks like in the absence of community, and it's so much easier when you have people praying for you and supporting you.
Amen. Anybody else? Anything else you want to share? What's something God's done? What's something you learned in general? Is there a new skill you've learned? Anybody learn to juggle this year? Matt? Back in the back?
I've learned that do what you can for each other because you don't know how much longer you have. I lost my mother-in-law the year before and then my sister this year. And all those trips down to Valley Haven, you know, they were so hard every day, every other day. And but you know what? I would still do it if she was just be home, be back. But she's in a better place than we are right now. But I've learned that. Be kind to everyone now because you just don't know when you might not have them anymore.
Amen. Anybody else? One last one. All right.
I've learned to let go of the things in the past and be in the present and look towards the future.
Amen. You know, it's crazy to think about, but it's been a busy year. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick, by the way. Nick, who does not want to be the center of attention. Really appreciate that. And point out, he said two words. He said, "You're welcome." Got him to talk. Anyway, listen, it's been an eventful year for many of us. And the truth is, I've been busy this year. As I reflected for 2024 and prepared for what is for the future, I started thinking about all the things I did. And there was a pastor's conference that we went on, and the great time I got to spend with Pastor Larry and Steve and John, right? And all the stories that I heard in all sorts of directions. And there was vacations with family and extensions of the family. And there was added family that we connected to, right? And we did all of these things. And there was the mission trip. And I got to tell you, when it comes to learning, there's always something I learned during the mission trip, right? And there's always something new that gets added to our repertoire of things that we can do. Or there's things that we do that are silly, like adding one green screw on a list of white ones across the board. The thing is, I've had a busy year, and I'm sure that many of you have done the same. So as I prepared for this, I started reflecting on all of these different things that I've done, and the good and the bad. Most of you know by this point that I've changed jobs, and I'm now with Tractor Supply. And that was a tough choice for me. 17 plus years with Office Depot. And I got to tell you, Tractor Supplies are not the same thing as Office Supplies. I wish somebody would have told me that ahead of time. Maybe I should have asked more questions, but it's fine. It's been busy. But as I think of all these things, I'm reminded of all these blessings, much like all of you guys, so these things that God has taught me through the year. Something that I want to personally share is I found that sometimes the people who are right next to us, they are so close to you. They have your back so much more than you ever know. See, I have been very blessed this year to get to spend a lot of time with family, and I cannot ever thank God enough for that because I'm reminded constantly of how important family and friends are. All of these things, all of these conversations, all of the great things that we've done, most of us this week as we go into 2025, we're going to start talking about what we want to do for next year. A lot of people come up with goals, right? Some people have that goal that they want to have for a specific weight loss or weight gain, or they want to read the Bible, or they want to do whatever it may be. And ironically enough, when I looked at the text I left off at several months ago, picking up right after that is going to really kind of set us in for the 2024 closeout and into 2025. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your scrolls, your phones, whatever it may be, open them up, roll them out, turn them on, whatever that is for you, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and as a brief synopsis of 1 and 2, what you may or may not have missed is this. Number one, this is a letter written by... anybody?
Paul. Thank you. It was likely the last letter Paul wrote because at this point he's just before he's going to become a martyr. Paul is trying to remind his brother, his friend, his family to be prepared. He ends chapter 2 with this encouragement to flee from youthful desires, granting others with gentleness so others may come to the Lord. So let's get into chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 starts off like this. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." And I have to stop right here because right off the bat, it's not really looking good, right? Because I don't know about all you, but I really don't enjoy when things are difficult. I don't enjoy when things get crazy. But the truth is, understanding this is to understand that the coming times, as the time comes closer and closer to when Jesus will return, things are going to get more difficult. This is Paul trying to tell us not just that it's going to be not convenient, but rather taking it a step further, that it's going to be dangerous. This word difficulty is used to explain a situation that is not just an inconvenience for us, like when we think of difficult today. This isn't just you had to sit in traffic on the bridge to get back to Ohio or back to West Virginia. This is your life is in danger, which in hindsight, that bridge also can be dangerous, so maybe it's a little bit of both. The reality is this is our lives are going to be in danger because of the end times. And this is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what is to come. And the first thing I want to share with you guys is the warning. My first point is the warning, and it's going to get worse. Well, why are things going to get worse? We got to keep reading to really find out the why, so we're going to get there. But I need you guys to understand that the world is getting worse, not better. Look at verse 2. It says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy." Now listen, I know this sounds probably pretty familiar to the day and age we live in, right? People tend to be lovers of self, right? Self-love is a pretty common, very common thing that we hear these days. You're told to love yourself. You got to take care of yourself, right? And to be very clear, you should take care of yourself, but not above everything else. Lovers of money, right? Proud, arrogant, people who are so focused on everything that is about them. That's what the world wants. The world we live in is becoming more focused on me, I, solely my. Now, when you look at these characteristics, a lot of these probably seem very similar of what we see on a normal everyday, right? Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. People maybe aren't as abusive to just random strangers yet, but there is a lot more of that than we realize. Disobedient to their parents, we almost encourage that in today's day and age. Ungrateful and unholy. As I was talking to somebody, I was inviting somebody to church this week. They told me they couldn't come to church because if they walked into our church, it would catch on fire. No. That's not how it works. It hasn't caught on fire anytime I've walked in here. It ain't going to catch on fire anytime anybody else is going to walk in here. Unless you're playing with fire, and then maybe, but that's different. Okay? These characteristics are becoming more and more of the world. More and more scary as it may be, this is becoming the direction we're going, and it's only getting worse, because the next verse, when you go to verse 3, it says, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. This is how I know we're not there quite yet. But we're not far from it. Because people are heartless. And people lack self-control. But there is still some set groups of people that still love good. But church, I have to tell you, the world is getting worse. And it's only going to get worse. The world we live in, the people around us, it's only going to become more and more dangerous. Verse 4 adds to that, and it says that there's going to be treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I got to tell you, this sounds like we are going back to a time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because these characteristics that we're describing, these characteristics as we look through them, as we break apart all these words, these are all things that were going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. These characteristics should be scary to us as believers. Amen. Right? Yep. Because we should be lovers of God. We should be seeking lovers of God. We should be seeking to be around the people of God. And our world is going to become more and more and more like this. And verse 5 adds on to it where it says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. Now, friendly reminder, this is Paul talking to Timothy, right? He's encouraging, he's trying to lift up this person that he's mentored, that he spent time with. He's trying to train him up, and he shares this because there are people out there who will pretend like they are believers. They will act like they are believers. They will have, as it says there in 5, the appearance of godliness, but deny his power. We have to be careful of these people. Because, church, the Pharisees were religious leaders in Jesus' time. The Pharisees followed the law. They acted like they thought they were supposed to act. And then when they literally had the Savior in front of them, they were too blind to see him. That last phrase, though, avoid such people. This is hard, right? Because it seems harsh. And in our day and age, we're taught that we want to be with everybody. We got to be nice to everybody. We want to love everybody. We got to be inclusive. This says we need to avoid such people. We got to be careful. Because there is a difference between inclusiveness, right, and letting a wolf in with the flock. Here's the thing. We need to, for lack of a better term, we need to vet people. That means that if some random person walks up off the street, we're probably not going to let them preach the first time they get here, right? Larry, myself, we're probably talking to them and knowing them before we ever even consider letting them teach in a class. The reality is there's a vetting process that goes into place here. But the same thing kind of applies to our families and our friends as well. We get to know somebody, right? You get to find out a little bit about them. Maybe you start off by finding out what their favorite color is, right? Danica, what's your favorite color? Blue? Okay. And then maybe you find out like what their favorite movie is, right? Mike, what's your favorite movie, boss? Elf. All right, and then maybe we focus on something more realistic and we go like, Brie, what's your favorite restaurant to eat at? Chico Fiesta. There we go. All right, finally a good answer. Mike, come on. All right, yeah, that's fair. I apologize. Look, we get to know people, right? And we start to talk to them. We start to get to know what their thoughts are, what bad choices they make, or whatever that may be. Right? We start to learn that, oh, well, we can go eat Mexican together, right? We start to talk about that. We start to talk about what our favorite food is. We start to learn, you know, maybe me and Matt, we go to eat fish together. We learn that I don't like fish and I would never eat any fish. Matt realizes he doesn't want to hang out with me anymore. And then me and Larry go out and eat fish and I eat shark and find out I had the best thing on the menu. There's a vetting process we have to do with people around us too, not just with people coming into a leadership or teaching position. We got to get to know the people around us. That's difficult sometimes. It's hard because that means sometimes we got to step out of our comfort zone. We have to ask people questions. We get to ask silly things like what your favorite movie is, right? And then sometimes we even ask serious questions like, hey, where do you go to church? Ronnie, where do you go to church again? Here, good call. And we find out maybe they don't. You're at church, don't worry. This is not a dream today. The thing is, when it says that we need to avoid such people, when we find people who are wolves in sheep's clothing, when we find these people who are acting religious or acting of the appearance of godliness but deny its power, we need to get away as fast as possible. These sins, they control their heart. They control their mind. And the sad truth is, all these things that we've talked about are still yet to come. I've preached about it before, and I think that it's an important topic that we have to understand to be prepared. Because in the world we live in, there will be more and more wolves pretending to act like us as time is yet to come. For until Christ returns, things are only going to get worse. But it doesn't stop there. He says in verse 6, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions." Always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. These people are going to lead people astray, and they're going to pick on weak people. They're going to prey on those who are weak, those who are struggling, those who are busy with life. They're going to find a way to push and push and push until they make their way in. And this world that we're coming to is going to be always learning, but never able to arrive at knowledge of the truth. I gotta tell you, it's a scary thing, but this may be closer than we realize when you realize how much we rely on the internet. Now I know, listen, I'm not telling you not to use the internet. Please don't think that. For all of the children and or youth in the room, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you not to use the internet because you're gonna probably use it for the rest of your lives. What I'm telling you is to be careful on the internet. Because, for example, if you type into your browser, into your Google browser right now, in any one of your phones, and you search for a question, maybe like, what's the meaning of life? Something that children and youth struggle with. They want to know. That's a question that we don't always explain to them as parents, right? They start asking the question, well, what's the meaning of life? And the truth is, the AI response, right, depends on your opinion. And then it starts to explain how there is no specific answer. And it summarizes a handful of different belief systems and allows somebody to try and make a decision on their own. See, the internet doesn't have all the answers, contrary to what sometimes we feel. The real question there is, are people getting smarter these days, or are they just really good at Google? And I think, Mike, you and I are in the same agreement there. The world we live in is getting closer and closer to this, where the knowledge of the truth is becoming further and further out of reach. Verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Now, I'm going to be honest. I've read this text several times in my life, and for a long time there, had no idea who in the world Jannes and Jambres were. And if you've been in church for a while and you thought the same thing, right, because surely I'm not the only person in the room who thought that, it turns out that that's where those were, Jewish belief was, that those were the names of the two wizards wise men that the Pharaoh brought in back in Exodus 7. These chief magicians that they brought in were evidently named Jannes and Jambres, which wasn't specifically referenced in Exodus 7, but that is the Jewish belief based on like six different studies I had to go through to try and figure that out. Those two, much like the men of the era, right? Those two used deception to convince the Pharaoh that Moses was just doing tricks. They used sleight of hand, and for lack of a better term, magic, to make it look like Pharaoh, that Moses was just doing the same type of tricks that they could do. And it worked for the first couple, right? They were able to use those first couple plagues that they were able to mimic in some way or another. But like all fakes, they get revealed. 9 says they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain for all, as was for those two men. See, they were able to deceive, but their folly eventually, ultimately was revealed, and God's light was shown through what they had done. Now listen, we're not ending this year with just a warning about how terrible the future is yet to come. First of all, that's just way too much sad and scary for me to end this year. So I want to keep reading this text as we get into verse 10, where it says this. It says, "You, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness." Now again, we're starting to see a counter in. We see all the negative characteristics listed before of all these terrible things going on. And then in verse 10, we see the good characteristics, right? We see as Paul is trying to lift up Timothy and remind him of all the things that he's seen him, all the things he's seen him do through his life. In verse 11, he says, "My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." See, for what is yet to come, there is point number one, which is the warning, right, that it's going to get worse. But point number two is the encouragement. The Lord provides. Timothy followed Paul. Timothy was centered on Christ. He grew up with the teachings. He grew up with this understanding, and he learned, and he taught, and he followed in the aim in life. He followed Paul through a focus on the faith. He followed Paul with patience and with a love. They were steadfast, even following and watching his persecutions and his sufferings. And yet Timothy never fell astray. He never ran from the faith, no matter how scary, no matter how terrifying things got. And I got to tell you, for to have a mentor or a leader be persecuted in the way that Paul was being persecuted would scare even the bravest of men around them. Yet Timothy stayed the course. And what Paul's encouragement to him and Paul's encouragement also therefore to us is that he will provide. God will provide. Verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's a tough one. Believers, I have to be honest with you, I have to be real with you, and I have to tell you this, life is not going to be easy. Okay? Tim, was it an easy year for you? Tim, no? Hey, Willie, was it an easy year for you? Phil? Okay. Hey, Steve, was this an easy year for you? I gotta tell you guys, life is not always gonna be easy. That doesn't change the fact that God provides. Okay? Though there may be persecution, though there will be tough times, though there are going to be, crazy thing, ups and downs of life, God will see us through it all. He will provide. He will protect. Verse 13, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 14 says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it. Continue. Continue in what you have learned. This phrase is so powerful. It's so tough because it means we got to keep going. We have to keep going in what we do. We have to keep learning. See, the funny thing is, you could be the most educated person in the room, and I can guarantee you still got stuff to learn. The thing with the Bible that I have learned in my life is, you could spend the next 30 years, 40 years studying every day and every night and focusing on every possible outcome of the scripture. And even if you do that, you're still going to find that tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, God's going to teach you something else. Well, how can that be so? Funny thing you ask. Because your day in and day out basis changes every day. You run into different people. You run into different circumstances. You see people and learn different ways to teach and to talk and to work with different people. The way that I teach students is not the same way that I teach adults. I got to be honest, and Larry and I have talked about this many times, I was terrified about teaching an adult class on a regular basis. You all, as adults, you all know way more than I do. In fairness, the youth, you also knew a lot more than I did too, but that's beside the point, okay? And if I'm being 100% honest, the children's classes are the most terrifying, and I still don't want to teach those if I don't have to. Okay? Listen, I pick on Travis a lot, but I never give Travis enough credit for teaching those classes as long as he has. Okay? And I say that because, honestly, kids ask the hardest questions. As adults, you guys are quiet half the time. You don't ask questions. You don't respond sometimes. I gotta, like, pull teeth. But kids, they're like, hey, explain how the Trinity works. To a child, right, Carol? And while we can explain that, we have to make a child understand it. That's a little difficult to do. Lots of pictures. And listen, and Tracy, You got the younger ones who have all the energy who now also know how to talk. You got a whole nother ball game, right? Listen, there's always something that we learn, no matter what stage in life you are. And that's just my side as a teacher. You know what? The same thing applies to working with just people. Listen, we put up with different people, different personalities, different styles. There's people who like to talk. I might be one of those people. There are people who don't like to talk at all. I know some of those people. Larry, you're not one of those people. You stop it right now. There's a different understanding of how that works and how those dynamics work. And God teaches us different ways to approach those things through His Word. The thing is, it doesn't matter whether you've studied a million hours into the Word or not. You're still going to learn different things and different ways to do things. Does it give you every single specific answer? Does it answer the question of every little thing you possibly want? No. Because there's plenty of debates that me, Larry, and Steve have had at pastors' conferences amongst scholars and pastors as well, who will debate and argue over different topics. It doesn't give you every answer to every single question. It does give you answers, though. Verse 15, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, Timothy was being taught the Word of God from a young age. So surely he knew a lot about the Word of God at that point in his life. No, he didn't know it all. But it really doesn't matter if you know it all or not. The point is that his encouragement here was that he was to continue to grow, continue to learn. So, what does all of this have? My final point is the challenge. The challenge is to continue to learn. Verse 16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. See, this means that people are going to change and the personalities are going to change, but God's word never changes. God's word is useful, is profitable for correcting, for teaching, for reproof. Church, we have to understand that we need to continue every day, continue to learn more. So what do we do with all this? How do we close it all out? My closing thoughts for 2024 are this. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter where, what point of life you're in, if you're in the up or the down, the good, the bad, struggling or not, what I have to tell you is this, that Jesus has a place for us. He's preparing a way for us. Look, I don't know how good or bad your 2024 was, but I can tell you this, I know where I'm going. Whether he comes back tomorrow, next year, 6 years, Jesus returns, I know that he has a place for me. If you've not made that your life mission, that's the question you need to be asking yourself as you close out 2024. And if you are confident in your faith and you know that Jesus has a place for you, then the conversation, the challenge for you becomes a little different. The challenge for you becomes, what are you going to do next year? So my personal goal, and I pray it's your goal as well for 2025 is this. I pray that we become equipped for every good work. So that this year we learn something new. We grow and we're prepared for whatever God's going to use us for. Church, that's how we should go into 2025 this year. Will you bow your heads and pray with me as the praise band comes forward? Gracious Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, I can never thank you enough for the mercy you showed us on that cross. That you loved us so much that you would die for us and prepare a place and a way for us. God, I pray that as we close in worship today, as we open up the offering or the front here, as we start praying for those at the altar, I pray, Lord, that you work our hearts. Lord, that you put in front of us what you want us to go through this year, that you remind us how you want us to grow this year, how you want us to change our lives this year for you. Whatever that is for each individual, I pray, Lord, that you reveal that to us. But also, God, I just pray that if there are people in the room that haven't made that profession of faith, that haven't dedicated their lives to you, Lord, that they take this opportunity to stop and just give it all to you. And Lord, sometimes we forget what that is and we forget what that means, but the truth of the matter is it's not so complicated that there's a orchestrated process, right? Lord, we know that it is as simple as coming to you, recognizing that we are sinners, that we have fallen short of your glory, that we are not perfect. Recognizing that, Lord, you are the Savior, that you sent your Son down to this earth to live a perfect life and to be a perfect sacrifice, only to take that cross, that brutal pain that we deserved. Lord, that we finally commit our lives, that we dedicate our lives to serving you in everything we say, in everything we do. God, may your Holy Spirit reign through this place today. And it is in your great name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Richie. Will you all please stand?
Where you are more. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
You're my one defense,
my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
So teach my song. Stand off.
As you go out and close out your 2024, may your goals be focused on the Lord. You are dismissed. Oh.
One announcement for you. If you can, would you please stay and go down to the fellowship hall and help us stack chairs and tables so that we can clean the floor downstairs? When I say we, I actually mean Mary. So, but it's a lot of work for one person to do. So if you have a couple minutes, it'll take 5 minutes with a bunch of people. So if you have time, fellowship hall. Thank you.
All right. Lord, I need you.